Yes, I am. Amen. I'm ready. Well, the Bible says not to get ready. It says be ready. Right? Jesus said in Matthew 24:44, be ye therefore also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. So, well, I don't believe he's coming soon. Well, that's just another evidence that he's coming soon. Because in the last days, Peter said that there would be scoffers saying, where is the promise of his coming? And I would like to be on the side of those that are looking instead of those that are doubting and questioning. And so I want to preach to you over these next couple of weeks leading up to Christmas about the second coming of Jesus Christ. The whole country, the whole world gets excited about Christmas. Some, they don't even know why. They have secular ways that they try to celebrate a spiritual cause. And some, they want to leave Jesus in the manger. They want to stop at the first coming. But can I tell you, the Bible doesn't do that. The Bible takes us beyond that. You cannot in any way recognize the first coming without knowing that Jesus is coming again. He's come, but he's coming again. And I want you to be ready for it. You say, well, how can I do that? Well, there was a group of people years ago in a church in Thessalonica that was founded when Paul and his missionary team visited there. They started and planted this church. And after Paul had left, he no doubt had taught them the second coming. And after he had left, some of those loved ones of these folks had passed on. And there became a concern. And they said, you know, what now, what? They missed the second coming. Paul said Jesus was coming back and our loved ones have died. And now they missed it. And Paul said, well, he said, I probably need to write a letter and talk with them about this and kind of help them get focused and get their theology straight. And so he wrote this church, and that's what we're going to look at today. Now, that's what was read right here in your hearing by Pastor BJ. I want to give you a few things that I found as I was looking up some facts and statistics. Over 1,800 Old Testament references to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Not the first coming, the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, predominantly, that's the kingdom. And we won't talk about that today, but we will another time in these messages. There's 260 chapters in the New Testament, and out of those 260 chapters of the New Testament, 318 references to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Did you know that in the New Testament, one in every 30 verses of Scripture is about the second coming of Jesus Christ? Isn't that something? And yet, there's not a whole lot of people talking about that. There's not a whole lot going on as far as us looking and gearing up and preparing for the second coming. The Scripture in 23 of the 27 books of the New Testament deals with the second coming of Jesus Christ. 23 now mention prominently the second coming of Jesus Christ. One-third of the Bible, if you broke it down by verses, has a reference to the second coming of Jesus Christ. What do you know about Jesus coming again? What do you know? You see, when we see red and Christmas trees and we hear these Christmas time songs, and listen, I love Christmas. I think it's the most wonderful time of the year. I do. I love it. I love this season. I love everything about it, scripturally. But I want to ask you something. Where does your love and where does your affection and where does your knowledge of Jesus coming end? Does it end after December the 25th, January the 1st? What do you know about Jesus coming back? I'd say we live in a world that's very similar to this group of people here in Thessalonica. Let me show you what I mean. Look, if you would, in chapter 4, look in verse number 13. The apostle writing here to this group of believers said, but I would not have you to be ignorant. Now, I want you to underline or highlight that word. Keep it in your mind. Here's a problem. Ignorance. There's a lot of ignorance about Jesus coming again. And then he said this, because of ignorance, notice what he said. He said, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not. See, ignorance in a lot of matters, but in particular in the matter of the second coming of Jesus Christ, will cause sorrow. Sorrow. You see, when we don't properly interpret the Scripture, when we have no knowledge of what God is doing or is going to do, we look around us and we see the world crumbling, and we see all that's going on in the world, and we say, you know, this is sorrowful. What's our world coming to? How is this all going to end? Well, God tells us in His Word how it's going to end. And He said, I don't want you to be ignorant. And so He addresses that. And this is a problem. It's a problem that we have even yet today in our world. And then He said, there's sorrow. And He said, I want to address that. And we live in a world of sorrow, don't we, brethren? Yeah. Sorrow. Sorrow on every hand. Then notice what else He said. He said in verse number 13, even as others which have no hope, hopelessness, you see. So here's three problems that the Apostle Paul said, you know, when it comes to this matter of the second coming of Jesus, he said, you need to get this thing straight. He said, because if you're ignorant of the second coming of Jesus Christ, you're going to experience some unnecessary sorrow. Now, everybody experiences at some point in their life sorrow. But he said, when it comes to the doctrine of the second coming, the teaching that Jesus is coming again, he said, you need to know some things about this so that you do not experience some unnecessary sorrow. And then he said, you also need to know it so that you will not go through life with a hopelessness. This is all there is. You know, that's the way that many people are living their life. This is it. Oh, listen, the apostle said over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, he said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Most miserable. I'm glad this life is not all there is. I'm thankful that this is not all that God has for me. Listen, I thank God for my life. I'm a blessed man. God has been far greater to me than I deserve. God's been good to me. But I'm glad this is not all there is. Amen. All this in heaven too, Christian. All this in heaven too. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? Well, Paul said, you believe in the first coming. He said, I want you to believe in the second coming. And that's the message I want to relate to you today before we have some folks baptized. I'm glad for these getting baptized today. Amen. Amen. Thank God for folks who get saved and want to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Now, let's look at this. I want you to just to hone in on a couple things with me. I'm going to just skim over some things. I'm not going to take it lightly. I just want to reach in here and pick out some things I think would be of a great encouragement to us this morning. All right? Now, notice if you would, in verse number 13, he said, I would not have you to be ignorant. So I'm going to teach you something. I want to let you in the know. I want you to know some things. Perhaps you knew it and forgot it, or maybe you never knew it. He said, but I want to remind you of something that's going to help you to where you would not have to experience a sorrow about your departed loved ones, about hope. And so he said in verse number 14, for if we believe, now watch this, watch what he's saying here. He said, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so. Now I'm going to stop right there. Now what is the Apostle Paul doing here? He's taking these people back to something that he originally taught them when he was there with them. He had taught them that Jesus, no doubt, had come, that he died. They got saved. Listen, you've got to hear the gospel to get saved. So what's he saying here? In essence, what he's saying, hey, you believe that Jesus came the first time, right? They had to. You believe that Jesus came the first time. How do you know he's saying that? He said, well, if you believe that Jesus died, he had to come to die. You believe that Jesus died. Look in verse 14. He said, if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, he was here one time before. And he did what he came to do that one time he came. He said, so if you believe that Jesus came the first time, I want to help you to believe that Jesus is coming again, because they cannot be separated. Jesus left something unfinished, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment. You see, there can be no crucifixion without a coronation. One day, brethren, we're going to meet in heaven. We're going to crown Him Lord of glory. Amen. Hear me now. Jesus came and was crucified, and the Apostle Paul said, I want you to know that you are going to be a part of the crowning day one day. Jesus has not been crowned, but one day He'll be crowned Lord of glory. I'm going to be there. Amen. You're going to be there if you're saved. So He said, if you believe that Jesus came the first time, I want to help you to believe that Jesus is coming again. Now, what evidence, what assurance is Paul giving us that Jesus came the first time? If someone were to say to you, you know, I keep hearing you mention this Jesus. What makes you so sure that there was ever a such person named Jesus? What would you tell them? Well, I tell you just a few things that I thought about this past week as I was pondering that question myself. I thought about this. I thought about the most read book in the history of mankind is the Bible. So I don't believe that. Do the research. It's been the number one seller, not just read, but listen, it's been purchased, it's been bought. It's been the number one seller for years. There's never been a book that, listen, that's outsold the Word of God, the Bible. Say, well, people deny the Bible. People don't believe the Bible, but they're curious about what's in that Bible. You know why? Because the Bible is about Jesus. The Bible is about Jesus. Listen, Jesus in the book of Luke, when He was walking with those disciples on the road of Emmaus, He took from the Old Testament and through the prophets and the Psalms, and He opened up the Scripture to them of things concerning Himself. From Genesis to Revelation and all in between, the Bible is about Jesus Christ. Amen. There's never been a man like Jesus, brethren. Listen, no one's ever been born like Him. No one's ever lived like Him. No one died for the purpose He died. No one came back from the grave like Jesus came back from the grave. And no one has the nature of Christ, because Jesus is God in the flesh. No one like Him. Never has been, never will be. So that would be my first thing. And that's what Paul does here. He says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Listen, you can't, it's undeniable. He came. Do you think that men got together and said, hey, let's just fabricate a story and about a Savior being born on December 25th. We'll celebrate it every year. Around the world. Around the world. Right? Christmas. Easter. You say, oh, those are coincidences. What about B.C.? You think that's a coincidence? You think time? You think that Jesus, listen, He put His stamp on time, B.C., A.D., in the year of our Lord. That's what A.D. is, Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. Time is about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Listen to me. You can't deny that Jesus came the first time. You can't deny it. Everywhere you look, Jesus has His stamp. He has His print on this old world. It's real. And here, He said in verse number 14, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so. Even so what? He's coming back. Did you know that I stand before you saved, but I'm not completely saved? So what do you mean, preacher? Oh, listen, the Bible says that these old bodies are waiting for the redemption. We're groaning. Read Romans chapter 8, verse 22. The whole creation is groaning, waiting for Jesus to come back. Our bodies are waiting for the redemption of our body to receive that new body. Listen, we're not going to heaven in this body. Listen to me now. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 50, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Got to get a new body. Amen. Going to get a new body. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Why? Because Jesus is coming again. Right. For now, Romans 13, verse number 11, is our salvation closer than when we believed. Right. Amen. One day we're going to get a new body. Aren't you glad for that? I bet you was much more glad when you woke up this morning and couldn't hardly get out of bed. Huh? Had to kind of, I'm starting to hear creaks and, man, I feel like the tin man sometimes. I need to get me a can of oil and oil some stuff up. I'm squeaking and creaking. And I'm serious. But one day, brethren, one day, listen to me now, God is going to change these old vile bodies into His glorious body. Amen. The resurrection body. We're going to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye.
Amen.
So He said here in verse number 14, if we believe that Jesus died now, you believe that? And rose again, even so, them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. God's not finished. He's not finished with you. He's not. God's got some more to do in and on you, in and on me. So we have the fact that Jesus came the first time. We have the fact of salvation. Can I tell you that you will not be looking for the second coming of Jesus Christ if you're not saved in the grace of God?
Amen.
Now, there's some saved in the grace of God still not looking. But you'll certainly not be looking if you're not saved. Are you saved? By the way, I want you to show you something here in verse number 14. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, right? You believe that? See, that's the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection. That's how you get saved.
Amen.
See, you get saved by believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You get saved by receiving what Jesus has done. There's a lot of folks running around saying, well, you know what? One day I just believe that I'm gonna quit doing the bad that I'm doing, and I'm gonna turn over a new leaf. I'm gonna start doing better, and God's gonna recognize it, and I'm gonna earn my way, I'm gonna merit my way to heaven. It'll never happen. It'll never happen. The only way you can get to heaven, the only way anyone ever gets to heaven is through Jesus Christ, by the finished work of Jesus. I like the story I read about a little boy who got saved. He got saved in a Baptist church. And listen, I'm glad that Baptists champion grace, aren't you? Grace. We're saved by grace, not by works. You understand that, right? Now, if you're saved, you ought to do good works. Amen. But not, listen, you don't do good works to get saved. You do good works because you're saved. Somebody say amen with me. Now, listen, this young boy got saved. And so when they took him to the side, they wanted to make sure he wanted to be baptized. And they took him to the side and they said, now, son, tell us, what happened to you? He said, I got saved. They said, amen. Now, they explained that to us. They was trying to make sure now. He said, well, I did my part and Jesus did His. They got a little concerned. They said, okay. Now, explain that. Tell us what happened. He said, well, I did my part and Jesus did His. They thought, oh, man, what do you mean you did your part? He said, well, I did the sinning, and Jesus did the saving.
Amen.
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 That's good theology.
Yeah. Yeah.
That little boy done tripped up the deacon board and the preachers too. See, you can't work your way to heaven. Notice what Paul said here. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that's the way you get saved.
Amen.
If you believe that Jesus came the first time and He did what He came to do, He said, then you will believe that He's coming back. Look at verse number 15. Not only do we have an evidence of the work of God, but we have an evidence of the Word of God. Look at verse 15. He said this, for this we say unto you by, I like this, the Word of the Lord. The Word of the Lord. The Bible, as I mentioned to you over and over and over again, talks about Jesus coming back. Jesus coming back. Jesus coming back. So, preacher, I've heard Jesus is coming back all my life. That just means He's closer than when you first heard it. Because He's coming back.
Amen.
Jesus is coming back. I'm looking around and I'm seeing things, and I'm telling you right now, brethren, you hear me now. These are unprecedented times that we live in. Unprecedented. There is absolutely, I have searched the Scriptures. I've read after those who have a greater knowledge in the Scripture. I can't see, I can't find, I can't denote one prophecy that needs to be fulfilled before Jesus comes again. As a matter of fact, I'm like one old preacher who said, I quit looking for signs, I'm listening for sounds.
Amen.
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 So what do you mean? Well, we'll get to that in just a moment. All right? The Word of the Lord. You believe the Bible? Can I tell you something? If it's in this book, I believe it.
Amen.
Oh, now, preacher, you don't believe it all, do you? Every word of this book. I believe every word of this book. Now, I didn't say I understood it all. I believe every word of this book right here. Every word. The Bible is the Word of God. The Word of God, not the Word of a man. As a matter of fact, if you'll turn back just, if you're in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, turn back to chapter 2. There is a verse 13 that I want you to look at there. It is powerful. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse number 13 says this, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the Word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." I tell you, I'm so glad that when I got saved, the Spirit of God came to take permanent residence in me like He does every believer. Like He does every believer. Amen. If you're saved, the Holy Ghost lives in you. Listen to me. If you're saved, the Holy Ghost lives in you. You don't get saved and then down the road get the Holy Spirit of God. If you're saved, the Holy Ghost lives in you. And I'm so glad that the Spirit of God taught me young in my Christian experience, the Bible is the Word of God, not the word of a man. The Bible is the Word of God. I believe everything that the Bible teaches. Do I do everything the Bible teaches? Sadly, no, but I believe it all. Amen. Amen. I believe it all. If the Bible says it, I believe it.
Amen.
So, well, now, preacher, you can't take all the Bible literally. I believe all the Bible. Every word of God is pure. Every word of God is pure. Proverbs 30, verse 5. The words of the Lord are pure words. Psalm 12, 6. Amen. It's the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. Amen. The word of God, brethren. He said in verse number, look at it one more time in verse 15. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord." Final authority. Paul said Jesus is coming back. Final authority. What are you doing because of that? So, well, I'm expecting Him. That's good. But are you preparing for it? See, Jesus gave parables in Matthew, and He said, listen, it's one thing to watch for Him. It's another thing to wait for Him. But you need to prepare for His coming. Not only by being saved, but as a Christian. And we're going to talk about that tonight. I want to talk tonight, the Lord willing, on the end of the world. The world's coming to an end. Yes, it is. The world is coming to an end, brethren. And the Bible speaks about it. And we're going to look at it. But before we do, I want to close with this, and then we'll have our baptism. He said, "For this we say unto you," verse 15, "by the word of the Lord." And then He said, "If God said it, it's so." I want to give you four things, and I'm just going to name them, and we'll talk a little bit about these four things, and then we'll have our baptism. "This we say unto you by the word of the Lord." These are some things that are going to happen. Just as sure that Jesus came, was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, was buried in a borrowed tomb, rose again the third day. Just as sure as that happened, Paul said, this is going to happen. He said, let me tell you what God said. Look, if you would. There's words that I want you to, if you write in your Bible, to underline. All right? It's the four-letter word, S-H-A-L-L. That's five letters. Just seeing if you were listening. Underline shall. Look at verse 16. "For the Lord Himself shall descend." Now, God's not sending an angel. Jesus is coming. Amen. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming back. The same Jesus that ascended is going to descend. And He said, it's going to happen. Paul said, you believe that Jesus came the first time? I'm telling you, He's coming the second time. He shall descend. You believe that?
Amen.
Did you look for Him? Yesterday? Hey, you want to be a good witness to folks? Go out in the yard when you get home today and just start looking up. Your neighbors will look out the window and they'll say, well, something's going on over there. And they'll start looking out the window. And then they'll get out in the front yard and they'll start looking up. You say, you see it? And they'll say, what? I'm just wondering if you see anything. I'm looking for someone. I'm looking for Jesus. Because the Bible says, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And I just thought he might be coming. So I thought I'd look up. You say, preacher, you don't really believe that Jesus could come today, do you? Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Do you? Did you know if we really believe Jesus is coming today, we'd live different? We'd live different. The Bible says that every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. So he said in verse number 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now here's some sounds that we should be listening for. Do you know that there's three recorded incidents at least in the Bible where Jesus shouted? Every time Jesus shouts, people come back alive. He stood at the tomb of Lazarus and he shouted, come forth! And Lazarus came forth.
Amen.
On the cross, he shouted, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost and the graves opened up. And many of those Old Testament saints rose from the dead. You say, you don't believe that, do you, preacher? Well, the Bible said it. I told you I believe everything the Bible says.
Amen.
One day there's going to be another shout. And the Lord himself, look at it, shall descend from heaven with a shout. Preacher, what do you think Jesus is going to shout? Well, I don't know. But it might be just what he did at Lazarus' grave. He might just leave the word Lazarus out. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And only Lazarus came forth. But had he just said, come forth, I believe every dead body in Christ would have came forth that day. One day he's going to say, come forth to all the believers. So why do you believe it's just the believers? Look at what it says now. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. See, there's two resurrections. That's right. And so one day, all of your loved ones that have gone on before you, God's going to reunite their body with their soul and their spirit. You say, is that going to happen? Well, if you look at verse number 14, he said he's going to bring them with him. Who's he bringing? He's bringing those that have gone on to be with him, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5:8. He's going to bring them, and they're going to get their translated, they're going to get a glorified body. Scripture teaches this. And so he said, this shall happen. I hope you believe it shall happen. Then notice, if you would, the latter part of verse number 16. He said, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Listen, all the dead of all of time that have died in Jesus are going to rise that day. Say, do you believe that, preacher? With all of my heart, brethren. With all of my heart. I have pinned everything in life, in eternity, in all of my being. I've pinned on this book right here. It's right here. I believe it. And so he said, number one, there's going to be a return. Number two, there's going to be a resurrection. It shall happen. Look at verse number 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together. It's going to happen.
Amen.
Paul didn't say, now it might happen. He said, I can't be sure now. I'm just going to throw it out there and just see. It might happen. No, no. He said, it shall happen. It's going to happen. Why? He said, because in verse number 15, it's the word of the Lord. And if God said it, it's going to happen.
Amen.
And so he said, there's going to be, the Lord is going to return. He said, the dead are going to be resurrected. And then he said, in verse number 17, he said, then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together. Isn't that something? Going to be a reunion.
Amen.
Oh, what a reunion day.
Amen.
We were talking in Sunday school about family that are alive here on this earth. And, well, I tell you, do you have any family problems? Wow, nobody has any family problems. That's great. But you notice how quiet it got when I said that? Man, you start mentioning family and people get nervous. Hey, see, they might be watching, preacher. They can't see you. Don't get nervous. Everybody has family situations. I'll be glad to God when we get to heaven, amen. There's going to be a glad reunion day, and we'll all get together, and we'll all get along, amen. Amen. There'll be no fussing and arguing and bickering and taking sides and all that stuff. When we get to heaven, brethren, it's going to be a glorious day. What a day that'll be, amen. All of our loved ones, he said in verse number 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That's a reality. Let me give you this last shall. And he said, so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's going to happen. It shall happen. Say, so, well, preacher, I hope one day that we're with the Lord. Oh, you don't have to hope. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Why? By the word of the Lord. Paul said, listen, in verse number 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, it shall happen. It's going to happen. Jesus is going to descend. It shall happen. The dead in Christ shall rise first. It shall happen. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. It shall happen. And then he said this, and he said, so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a wonderful truth that is. Well, say, preacher, I thought when you preach on the second coming, you're supposed to scare us and frighten us and make us leave here saying, oh, I better do this and I better do that. Jesus is coming. Well, now, wait a minute. That's not what the second coming ought to do. The second coming ought to build such an appreciation and such a love and an affection for what God has done for us, that we'd want to serve Him, but not only serve Him, but get other people saved so that they can be prepared for when this time takes place. He said, wherefore, look at verse 18, comfort one another with these words. Isn't that something? Kind of leads me to believe that maybe these Christians were going through some things. Maybe they were being persecuted. Maybe their governor had told them that you don't have to be in church to worship. Maybe the governor told them that they were the real problem. Right? It's them churches that's the problem. It's those Thessalonians that's the problem. It's those Christians, they're the problem. Maybe they were under fire. And Paul said, let me give you some comfort. One day, all this mess is going to be over. Amen. We're just pilgrims and strangers passing through, brethren. We're just pilgrims. Listen, we ought not to get all up here, way down here. Just stay even keel, stay focused. One day, Jesus is coming back.
Amen.
He's going to right every wrong. Hear me now. He's going to take care of some things. And he said, there's just times that you might need some comfort. And there's just some times that others need some comfort. He said, how about comforting one another? There's times you might be where you ought to be, but somebody else is not. How about comforting them? And then there's times that you might see that I might need comfort. And how about comforting me? Isn't that what the Bible says? It says comfort one another. Don't always wait on being comforted. Look for someone else that needs some comforting. Because these perilous times in which we live are uncertain. And sometimes people get a little off track and they get out of focus and they need a little word of comfort. Now, brother, I know it must be hard, and I know times might be rough, but I just want to remind you now, one day the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. The voice of the archangel, isn't that something? I believe that's Michael. I believe he's going to clear the airwaves. The devil likes to clog the airwaves. He's the prince of the power of the air. I believe Michael's going to clear the airwaves, say, don't you met? They're coming up. Amen. No interference. They're coming up. The trump of God. The trump sounds for worship and warfare. Study the scripture. Worship in the air, warfare on the earth, because once the rapture takes place, tribulation is coming on this earth. There's purpose for the sounds. He said, just comfort one another. God's going to take care of you. Let's stand to our feet. And those that are going to be baptized, if you'd go ahead and prepare for baptism. I want to ask you, as we stand, ask you if you would to bow your head with me just for a moment. head bowed, every eye closed. You ready for Jesus to come again? You need a little comforting? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. One day, Jesus is coming himself. And he's going to take us out of this old world. He is now. We're going to be reunited with those of our loved ones who have died before. Maybe it's a grandmother. Maybe it's a grandfather. Maybe it's a father, a dad, a son, a daughter, a spouse. I don't know. But one day, thank God, we're going to be reunited with our loved ones. Take comfort. It won't be long. While Christians are praying, I wonder if there's someone here today to say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. I do not know Jesus as my personal Savior. And I want you to pray for me. I realize I need to be saved. And I want to be saved, but I'm not. And I want you to pray for me." Could I see your hands? Is there anyone like that here today? "I'm not saved. I realize I need to be. I want you to pray for me." Anyone? Is there someone here that would say, "Preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. But I've lost my focus a little bit. When I begin to think about Jesus coming again, it reminds me of the importance of getting matters straight and living for Him so that I can make a difference before I leave this old world. I want you to pray for me, preacher. I'm saved." And God spoke to my heart about this matter of Jesus coming again and me living in a way that would honor Him until He comes. Pray for me. Anyone like that? God bless you. Yes. Amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Yes. Help us, Lord. We just need the Lord to help us. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. Lord, help us. Help us to live in a way that would honor you, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Father, I pray for these that lifted their hand. Lord, you know the need. We're all a needy people. We just need you to help us to stay focused. There's so many distractions in the world today. And I just pray that through your word, the ministry of your Holy Spirit, the ministry of the saints, that we would comfort one another. We would charge one another. We would consider one another. We would be focused on the things that really matter. Not this world, but your kingdom. God help us, I pray. Lord, I pray that you would be with these that have received you and now are following you in believers' baptism. Help us as a church. Help me as a pastor to be a discipler, an example to them, and to help them as they grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord, and thank you for the promise of your word, that just as you came the first time, you're coming again. Help us to celebrate that fact. As we celebrate your first coming around this time of year, help us to be mindful and celebrate the fact that Jesus is coming again. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. If you would turn this one on. Tiana, would you come forward? I'm going to ask you to stand right here. Tiana's going to be baptized today, but Tiana wants to give a testimony this morning. I've asked her to do so. She gave her testimony to me, and I said, I'd like for you to prayerfully consider giving this testimony to the church. And she said, I'll do it. I'm not a good public speaker. And I said, well, none of us are, you know, but just do it for the Lord. And she wants to do this for Jesus. Tiana?
Thanks. So I'm John and Mary's other daughter. Wasn't usually here as often, very angry, depressed, thought I was a Christian since I was five. Last couple of years were hard. I've been bitter and just kind of going through the motions of Christianity, if at all. But on November 15th of this year right here, I was broken and where I needed to be for God to call me to Him, and so I surrendered my life to Him. And since then, He's just been so faithful and so good in just revealing Himself to me just every day and everything. I've had a lot of issues going on, some really tough decisions, and where normally I would kind of turn inward and pray to God as if He was a genie, which is how I used to pray. You know, those leading prayers say I was leading the police, but if I didn't have an answer right away or it wasn't to my liking, it's cheap. Yep, prayer never went past the ceiling. God doesn't care. You know, He's, I can hear His still small voice just speaking to me and leading me, telling me to wait on Him. When I try to take matters back in my hand, I have scripture and then just my wise mother, she heard a quote on the radio that says, do we trust God to handle our problems without our help? And so I just, you know, take that. I'm like, yes, God, I do. Help me just focus on You. Where I'd go months without reading the Bible, and I didn't care. Now I'm hungry for it. I'm waking up every morning, 5:30, just praying and reading through it. If I can't, it feels like something is missing, and I'm doing Bible devotionals at my desk, and He's just really working in me and telling me to wait on Him and just showing me who He is. And so He's just speaking, and I called Pastor Friday morning saying, I know you'd mentioned like a baptism Sunday, but is there a way to bypass that? Can I be baptized before? And he said, funny enough, I had just been talking to the other pastors, and we're making a baptism Sunday this Sunday. And I'm like, all right, God, well, that just kind of confirmed. So that's me, and I just want to do this for Him as a thank you for how real He's been to me.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Tiana. Amen. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Amen. You know, that's what happens when you get saved.
Amen.
You begin to hunger and thirst. You desire the sincere milk of the Word. Amen. You wait on God to speak. God speaks. God makes Himself real to you. We Christians remember that, right?
Amen.
Amen. If you're here today and there's nothing personal, there's absolutely no relationship whatsoever between you and God. Like Tiana made a profession that was just empty. It brought no change, no change in desire, no change in action, no real relationship with the God of heaven. I implore upon you, search your heart. See, I don't know what's in your heart. No one does but you and God. But I'm saying, if God is just a name to you, if church is just a formality to you, if the Bible is just another book to you, I would be real concerned. And I'm just asking to search your heart. I thank the Lord for the difference that Jesus makes in our life.
Amen.
All right. Pastor BJ is going to come, and we'll begin our baptism.
Amen. Exciting day. Always thankful, joyous to see people get baptized. Well, I get the privilege to baptize our first candidate, and then Pastor Brandon will take over, but I'm going to call our first candidate down, and you'll see why I get the privilege to baptize her. This is my daughter, Tara Lynn, and we're just excited what God has done in her life. We've been praying for Tara for quite a few years now. Tara's known she wasn't saved with this past Veterans Day. She got that settled, and ask Jesus to save her. You want to say anything, Tara? Didn't think she would, but I had the privilege of leading Tara to the Lord at our house Wednesday night. I sat on Veterans Day after church, and she had a clear understanding and wanted God to forgive her sins and to give her a home in heaven. And we know by the promise of God's word that whosoever will. And she came and trusted him that night. And now we get to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. We've had a talk, and she understands what baptism is. It's not anything about washing your sins away. Jesus' blood is the only thing that did that. She's doing it to follow the Lord and to announce to the world and show the world that she wants to follow Christ. And so, Tara, upon your public profession in him, it is a privilege to baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life.
Amen.
Amen.
My son asked me, he says, Pastor BJ getting baptized? You never know, amen. Well, it's a privilege to be involved in the work of the ministry, and I'm also had the privilege to baptize my children. I'm going to ask Emily to come forward. She's the first of all three of mine being baptized today, and many of you remember about a month ago our pastor preached a tremendous message on repentance on a Sunday morning. And that next day on Monday, we had a staff meeting. And I remember thinking throughout the day on Monday that I needed to go home and really challenge my family and ask them some questions about the message on repentance. And I began to do that Monday night when I got home from the staff meeting. And Emily didn't even let me get finished explaining it. And she just broke down and she said, I need to be saved. And as I was talking with Emily about a prior profession that she made, Wyatt was sitting across the room, and he just broke down crying, and he said, what she's saying is true for me as well. And I believe it's an experience that happens often with children, happened to me. You make a profession maybe at a young age, and then you kind of grow up, and God begins to make things real to you. And that was what Emily and Wyatt both told me, was that they wanted it to be real, and they wanted it to be something personal. And I'm glad that salvation's like that. I'm glad it's something that's personal between us and God. We can't trust our parents, our family to get us to heaven. And so I was excited and encouraged all of my children to develop a personal relationship with the Lord. And so this is just the beginning. Salvation and baptism is just the beginning of hopefully a lifelong fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Emily's the first. She's coming forward. So Emily, upon the profession of your faith in the Lord Jesus and in obedience to the Great Commission, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. All right, next is Wyatt. I believe a couple of Wednesday nights ago, Wyatt gave his testimony. I was proud of him for doing that. Come on this side here, buddy. And I'm just thankful to see God work in the lives of my children, and it's certainly a blessing. So Wyatt, upon the profession of your faith in the Lord Jesus and in obedience to the Great Commission, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. Come on, Daddy. I was explaining baptism to my children, how it's us being identified with Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection, and I promised them that I would not hold them under for 3 days before they were raised again. And so Maddie has come now to be baptized, and Maddie, upon the profession of your faith in the Lord Jesus, in obedience to the Great Commission, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. next candidate is Miss Haley Keys. Haley gave public profession of her salvation here in the service with her dad not long ago, and we're excited for Haley to see how God's going to use her life. So Haley, upon the profession of your faith in the Lord Jesus and in obedience to the Great Commission, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. And then we have Tiana. She's coming to be baptized. You just heard her give her testimony. I heard bits and pieces. Talked to the pastor on the phone yesterday about Tiana, and he explained how he was excited to see God working in her life and how God spoke to her during her devotions, and she believes she needed to be baptized. We're excited for you, Tiana. Upon the profession of your faith in the Lord Jesus and in obedience to the Great Commission, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. Amen. All right, Pastor David's going to come with some announcements.
Amen. That's exciting, isn't it? Amen. Love seeing people get baptized. I hope the Lord allow us to see so many more in the coming weeks. I'd praise God if we had baptisms every week. I mean, people getting saved. So praise the Lord for that. All right, I'm going to give you a couple quick announcements, and then we will dismiss. I want to let you know tonight at 5:15, there is a bus workers meeting. So those of you in the bus ministry, you'll be having your meeting tonight at 5:15. You'll be meeting over in the fellowship building next door. Also, those of you on the staff, any business for tomorrow's meeting needs to be given to the pastor after the service this morning, okay? So he sent out a text message to all of us a day or two ago about that. But if you haven't gotten it to him and you have something that needs to be discussed in our staff meeting Monday night, please get that to him after this service this morning. And if not, then it won't be on this agenda. Also, I want to let you know about a meeting of interest next Sunday at 5:15. And so we're going to have a meeting of interest next Sunday at 5:15 in regards to a Christian school. And so if you have any interest whatsoever, coming to this meeting doesn't mean that you're going to be involved in it, a part of it, any of that. It's just if you have any interest whatsoever in your children maybe attending the Christian school here at Fellowship Baptist Church, it's something that pastor's been talking about, praying about for a long time. And so we're going to have a meeting of interest next Sunday at 5:15. And so if you're interested in that, please be at that meeting next week. And then let me make sure I've got all of our, I believe that is all of our announcements. Don't forget about, there was a thing on the boards this morning. We're having our father-daughter banquet on January the 9th. So those of you that haven't gotten the new calendar for next year, January the 9th will be our father-daughter banquet here at the church. And we'll give you more information of that in the coming weeks. And there'll be a sign-up sheet for that. But January the 9th will be the father-daughter banquet. They're waving at me. Amen. The lost and found is starting to pile up. So if you have something in the lost and found, or you've lost something, go to the lost and found. And if you don't, I'm going to go over there and, you know, start finding some stuff. Amen. I'm just playing. But the bookstore? Okay. There are items left over from the church's previous bookstore. There are good number of books, Bible cases, and other items such as bookmarks, keychains, jewelry, etc. With Christmas coming, you might find some good gifts. Some of the smaller items children may be able to purchase to give as gifts. Everything will be reasonably priced, and all monies will go to the building fund. Tables will be set up over in the fellowship hall after Sunday and Wednesday evening services starting this Sunday. Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't see that part was typed, the other was written. So there's going to be some stuff that's left over from the bookstore that we had. If you're interested in some of that stuff, there's going to be tables set up, and you can look at that, and it'll be reasonably priced stuff, okay? I think we have all of our announcements other than this one. There's a birthday today. Brother David, he's going to kill me for it, but his wife told me to do it. Brother David Thompson, his birthday's today, and so before the day's out, if you see Brother David, you tell him happy birthday. I think he's turning 44 years old. Somebody in my Sunday school class said that he said his wife was turning 54, and so I don't know, but she said that's not so. It's his birthday, and he's turning 44, and so you tell Brother David happy birthday if you would. All right, we're going to go ahead and let our buses be dismissed. I'm sorry. Amen. Amen. Some of the homeschool group went out and done some caroling, and Miss Nora said thank you. And so praise the Lord for those of you that were able to be a part of that. All right, bus drivers, bus workers, if you want, you can be dismissed now.